This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. In the studio lounge, we have Alyssa McCarter-Labor from the World Council of Credit Unions. Did I get that right?
Oh
my gosh.
You got it right.
I always mix it up. I always go World Credit Union Council or World Credit Union. I get them all mixed up. But we know who you guys are. Welcome to the studio lounge. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. Wow. So I'm asking everybody, what are some of your takeaways from GAC this year? We're going to get to the Ukraine stuff here in a little bit, but other takeaways that you got from this year's GAC? Because I think it's your first one. Am I correct in that?
This was my first GAC.
Okay.
I've been hearing about GAC for all 6 months that I have been at World Council. And yeah, it's just an amazing energy of people.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about it. I've also heard it's a marathon.
Yes, it is.
So I'm a bit exhausted, but it's been really good. You know, we've been on Zoom for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and I think for many people, this was the first in-person event
mm-hmm.
where it's a little bit of an adjustment to have living, breathing
yeah,
people around you.
4,000 living, breathing people, yes.
But just the energy, and I think for me, getting a real sense of what the movement is about,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm new coming into
mm-hmm.
credit unions and, you know, what the issues are, how people relate. I think seeing the collaboration and just enthusiasm, it was good. It was great. It's been a great week.
Yeah, this is definitely the conference to come to get that vibe, that feeling, for sure. We all call it the big family reunion. We all come back once a year and say, I mean, we see each other periodically throughout the year, but for some reason, the GAC is the big family reunion, they call it. So always good. All right, well, cool. All right, I'm going to get to the topic at hand that everyone's talking about, and it's Ukraine, obviously. So what's the latest that you're hearing there? And I heard, and I wish I could have attended that session where you guys had the ambassador of Ukraine here yesterday, or at least via Zoom, right? So how did that go?
We did. You know, I think that we let me just give you a little bit of scene setting.
Sure.
So World Council has been working in Ukraine for the last 5 years. We have a partnership with USAID,
mm-hmm.
U.S. Agency for International Development, to support agricultural producers through the credit unions there. So we have a number of credit union partners. We have been on the ground both looking at regulation that supports the credit union movement and actually supporting members. And we had a capital fund also that was financing
mm-hmm.
loans to members. And so we have a team of employees on the ground. They are
mm-hmm.
still there. We have staff there. And we have now, a tragic unfolding of events that is rewriting the rules of engagement in Europe.
Yep.
I think this is the crisis at hand. So for me this week, just the ability to mobilize as quickly as we did
mm-hmm.
to try to open up an emergency fund at the Worldwide Foundation. So
mm-hmm.
we are collecting money. I think we're up to over $65,000 just in the last 48 hours.
Yeah, that's going to go up.
Of individual donations
to
be ready to both look at short-term emergency needs of displaced Ukrainians.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think most importantly, to try to look at how do we ensure that when people can recover, rebuild, resettle, get back to some semblance of living, which
mm-hmm.
we hope in a peaceful context,
right.
that we can make sure that credit unions are part of that support network
mm-hmm.
for both their members and their communities.
Yeah.
I mean, we're across the country in Ukraine, and we're along the borders. We've got, credit union associations in Poland and Romania that are accommodating
mm-hmm.
the 500,000 refugees.
Yeah.
I've lost count now.
That's what I heard
every
too,
day.
Yeah.
So I think that for me, it's been rewarding to see, can we mobilize
mm-hmm.
in a personal matter. My background is international development, and so I have a lot of friends and colleagues who work in humanitarian relief. That is their career.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have already been speaking with them on how do we make sure we plug into the relief community,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where if we are able to have our own assistance go in and make sure it's directed
mm-hmm.
in the best way possible,
mm-hmm.
well spent, not duplicated, both to look at emergency as well as longer term rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we have
right.
in mind. So it's been amazing to see the kind of community of, you know, cooperatives helping others and people helping people, and see that that actually plays out in real terms. But, you know, we don't have a lot of visibility right now on how long this is going to last or what will unfold. But I think we will be there, and we will be able to help help in this time, which is really the crisis of our moment.
It's pretty phenomenal. And there's other adjectives to describe it, and we want to get those adjectives right now. But the work that you guys are doing and that credit unions are doing over there, how about credit unions in Poland? Because I know there's a number of credit unions in Poland. Are they able to handle the displaced folks that are coming into their country as well, or even the countries that are surrounding Ukraine? Are they able to step in and help as well, kind of like a shared branching type of thing that we have here in the States? Is that a possibility?
Well, what I'm hearing on the news, like you are, again, not having great visibility on the ground, is, you know, you have people crossing the border in both Romania and Poland, and families welcoming and accommodating people coming across. And so I think we are in touch with our Polish member, who is helping, is ready, you know, in terms of the infrastructure of what does that mean. I think to the extent we can use credit union infrastructure for cash transfer, for immediate needs, for helping with logistics, all those things need to be well coordinated on the ground, which is why I go back to those who are humanitarian relief actors know how these the massive logistics and you know, the nuances of how do you make sure goods get to the right people and it's coordinated in a way. I think that's what we're looking at, that kind of highly orchestrated, coordinated partnership with those who are on the ground to make sure that we can move as quickly as we can when the conditions permit. And you mentioned the ambassador. I mean, it was really kind of my moment of the day yesterday, because, you know, the Ukrainian-American delegation was here from the credit union associations in the U.S., the diaspora community here.
Yeah.
There are 12 credit unions in the U.S. who are among the Ukrainian diaspora. And with the ambassador joining, I learned about that only 10 minutes or I went to speak. And so, you know, quickly the mood of the moment changed to, you know, which was the right thing, right? That was just an amazing opportunity to hear from the ambassador of Ukraine and be able to tie it back to why we exist, right? This is the best of the cooperative model for me, is when we can look at cooperation and collaboration around meeting the urgent needs of our day in a way that's collaborative, that is pooling resources, that is giving back to the communities that we live in. And at the end of the day, we live in a global community. To me, it just brought home the kind of the opportunity to really try to leverage the World Council's work in so many countries. I mean, 118 countries, 400, almost 400 million touch points. I keep repeating that because I think many people don't fully grasp. I've heard a few different participants in this conference tell me how I didn't actually realize that our global credit union movement was to that size. 86,000 credit unions, nearly 400 million touch points to members.
Big numbers.
And that's ultimately why I joined.
Months
ago.
Well, thank you.
Well, talk to me in a year.
Exactly. Last question on the Ukraine situation. What was the, for those who weren't here, what was the message, or what was the feeling in the room during that session? Because I heard it was standing room only. It was probably one of the most crowded sessions of the conference. What was the message or the feeling in the room at that time?
Well, I mean, to be frank, I think it's both somber because of what's happening, and you know, we've never had a war wired in a way that you see through social media and through everyday persons filming on their mobile phone the egregious, you know, reality of what's happening on the ground. You know, the other, I guess, sense that I felt in the room was like, we need to do something. And I think when you are hit with the reality of that kind of violence, and injustice mm-hmm. and aggression.
Yeah, yeah.
Having a community of people that have the ability to do something about it mm-hmm. is really the only way we should be responding.
Agreed.
So I think it was a powerful moment. I mean, I can't speak for everybody in the room, but it was thousands of people.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people there.
Where I think the silence and the kind of the feeling of the responsibility to do something about mm-hmm. it was real.
Yeah, yeah. I think you have, again, we always talk about the credit union superpower, and that's collaboration. And I think no more is it true in this instance, in coming together and helping these folks across the Atlantic deal with this situation. I mean, it's just, I'm still looking at it like, is this really happening? What? So yeah, it's just, oh my gosh. Okay, let's switch to something else. Let's bring it up a little bit. So are there any other items from the GAC that kind of stood out for you this time? I mean, again, your first time, what else stood out for you at the GAC, or what were some of your takeaways now that it's Wednesday and we're kind of on the back end of the show, kind of in the home stretch, so to speak, of the conference?
That's a good question. I really took the opportunity to try to absorb the people, the great variety of different kinds of credit unions, communities they represent, different kinds of leaders that we have across the industry. I was really impressed with a lot of the young professionals, the crashers.
Oh, the crashers, yes, they were just here.
A lot of new CEOs that I've heard have come into the movement, newly mm-hmm. in their positions, 1-2 years, and I've met a few of them and was very impressed with this kind of reinvigoration of getting back to the roots of why credit unions were created. Mm-hmm. My career has been built around financial inclusion and really looking at how do you design and build financial systems that work for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that is ultimately why credit unions were created, and at least in the industry mm-hmm. here in the US. And I think that the getting back to the foundations of why we differentiate from banks, from fintechs, from others, mm-hmm. I heard those messages coming out, which mm-hmm. to me just builds on all the things that I want to be able to
right.
do in my role,
yeah.
is how do we really tap into that opportunity and that real passion for the fact that we are, we are in so many different countries, including in this country, mm-hmm. in every small town, village, rural community, urban communities, underserved, immigrant families who have, either recently or been in the U.S. for a long time, who just have not ever had really good choices and financial tools, mm-hmm. And a partner that looks at them holistically as a person and a family, not just as a, bank client. Mm-hmm. I think that's really what has to be the focus going mm-hmm. forward. And we have to live in our day.
Oh, yeah.
Our day is crisis of Ukraine. It is trying to promote better resilience of families in the face of, recovering from a pandemic, the uncertainty around inflation, cost of living, and job security. Mm-hmm. And, there's so many different issues that are in our day. Climate resilience, there's storms and rain and fires and you name it. Mm-hmm. And those require not only financial tools and risk mitigants, but that requires really a future forward thinking mm-hmm, mm-hmm. of how do you support communities in that kind of new world that mm-hmm, we live in. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be doomsday. But I think that we've all firsthand experienced the kind of disruption in a pandemic and supply chains and ultimately what happens globally, far away, mm-hmm. comes back to hit you in your community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've always been interested in international work. I'm deeply curious about other cultures and people who are different from me and mm-hmm. think different from me. And
yeah.
I think that I'm glad to see that awakening, especially in the US, where we tend to be a little bit isolationist and we just focus on our immediate surroundings. I think that's no longer the day we're in,
mm-hmm.
and that to me that's a real opportunity. That's a real opportunity for World Council to try to lead on some of those issues mm-hmm. that we got to get a handle on and be a player in.
Yeah.
We've got to be responders.
Yeah, you're in the right place, Alyssa. You're definitely in the right place for sure. And the work that you all do at the World Council on a global level is astounding. I don't know how you guys do it. You know, handling, you know, okay, 400 million touch points, you know.
I don't either. I'm still new here.
I'm just...
we're small and mighty.
It blows my mind, the work that you all do on a global level. And you really see it when you go to the conference this summer in Scotland. When obviously, it's your conference is going to be in Scotland this summer. But it really comes to a reality when you see all these different people from all the corners of the planet. And they come together, and we're all so different. And yet we're also the same, because we all have this same mindset about, like you said, providing financial services for everybody who really needs it. So it's really kind of cool. And you'll see. I mean, you probably already have a taste of it, I'm sure. But having said that, some goals for 2022. Obviously, future focused.
I know.
I'm sorry. Or just... what do you hope to accomplish? I know you're still in your first year, and you're still getting a lay of the land and stuff.
No, I mean, I think it's, I'm joking a little bit of like, goals and objectives. I really think that, speaking of World Council, coming in new, a bit of an outsider, but familiar with some of the issues around financial inclusion, financial services, I think as World Council, we need to focus in a few areas where we could really drive impact for the global movement. Mm-hmm. And that has been a lot of my thinking and, you know, talking to different people here at this conference and others to get a sense of where can I pull the best of the ideas and innovation. And as I mentioned, kind of deep thinking about inclusion in a way that we can really scale that, replicate that, collaborate on that for the benefit of the global movement. Mm-hmm. And all the things you said are very true. It's the power of people, the power of networks, the power of common purpose, of why we exist as credit unions. But that said, we got a lot of issues to sort out. And I mentioned this in a couple of my talks this week. We're not growing the way that we should be growing. You know, when you run the numbers year on year, kind of consolidated assets and membership, it's a pretty flat
right,
line.
Right, you're right.
And it needs to be accentuated because there are still communities who don't have access to good financial services. There are communities even in our backyards that still are not that are not well served. I think there's an underserved community, and then there's a much bigger number of not well served, well served by banks or fintechs, and they have poor choices, like still money lenders and payday lenders.
Yeah, the payday stuff. Yeah.
And so I feel a sense of urgency because of digital disruption, all these things, that we have to kind of jolt the movement to both grow and deepen the kinds of services that we can provide and are providing.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's kind of, where do I push and pull as somebody new coming in to try to look at growing and documenting that and providing evidence around that? Because I think when you put the data before us, when you see it, you realize, we can do much better. So that's something that I get really excited about, because
good.
I think there's a lot of opportunity, and
no
it's a
doubt.
Question of just figuring out, for me, where can I focus, where can I push, where can we as World Council really lead on some issues as well as serve our members. We got to listen to our members and where they, ultimately we're a service organization, right? We're a trade association. So we have a certain response to what our members need, but I think at the same time, you've got to lead in a way that we're future looking and that we can really drive impact and we can document that and constantly inform what we're doing and where we're putting our efforts and focus and time and money, because I want to see this industry grow and have a seat at the table when we are talking to regulators and policymakers and people who care about financial inclusion like we do.
Right.
I want us to be very visible in those conversations, mm-hmm. because I think that's what we're about. Mm-hmm. That's the promise, right, of the cooperative
right.
financial model.
And
that's the promise of the movement.
Exactly. And I like the word, I like how you use the word jolt. And you got to find that jolt to get the wheels moving in a lot of these directions that you want to take it. So, yeah. So glad you're here. Thank you so much, Alyssa. Anything else to add to wrap up here? I know you probably still have a busy schedule today, but thank you so much.
I'm a little brain dead, so I think that's enough.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming by. I know it's, again, we're all on fumes at this point, but appreciate your time. And I look forward to more conversations. This was wonderful. And good luck this summer as well in Scotland as well. We'll
come to Glasgow.
That's right. Beautiful country. It's
going
to be a
beautiful Glasgow.
Time. That's right. It doesn't get any better than that. Good stuff. All right, Alyssa, thank you so much. There she is,
thank
Alyssa
you.
McCarter-Laborde from the World Council. Well done. This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.